This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny live on The Fan. One more day away from the crew. I'm hanging out at my house in my basement, but I felt well enough to get out of bed today. So we're halfway there. After a couple of days bedridden, having the kids and the wife bring me things as needed via text message that I'd order down to the kitchen or to the medicine cabinets that we've got, I am now moving around, but I wanted to give it one more day with the strep throat recovery to keep you guys from getting it. What's up, Danny? How are you?
Rightly so. By God, that's Paulson's music. I frankly did not expect you back. That text that buzzed in, whatever time that was, like right around noon, where you said, doing the show today from home. Stunning upset. That was major plus odds on the board. I thought you would be
really
out of commission. Yeah. I thought you had at least another 24 hours. I thought maybe tomorrow you might be doing the show from home. But
I missed two shows.
I know, dude.
I was out on Tuesday. I was out on Wednesday. Some would say I might have missed Monday's show, even though I was there for that.
That was tough.
I know I missed all the bits and the breaks because I was trying to take naps or just stare at the ceiling with my, eyes closing.
You've all seen that. Before we knew about brain trauma and like head injuries and different things, you know that standing eight count? That boxer in the ring who's physically there but isn't there, that's what you look like on Monday. Like,
so you thought I was going to miss a third I don't know that I've ever missed three shows with an illness.
Yeah. You're part of the Danny Club now where it's like, I got laryngitis. I'm just here. Can't talk for, however many days.
Unreal, man. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Before children, your boy never got sick. Mm-hmm. I was just saying the other day, I was like, I've always said my immune system is amazing. I never really get sick. I don't think I can say that anymore. I had the flu a few weeks ago. Now I've got strep throat. So my bingo card is filling up. Next stop, mononucleosis. Somebody with mono want to give me a kiss? Let's go through the trifecta.
Don't even joke.
At this point. But I'm not a strep throat guy. I will say that. I don't know that I've had it before. It stinks. It is the worst. No one should get it. Do your best not to get strep throat. Back to you, Danny.
Yeah, I think that's pretty smart. If you can help it. I've been doing this, I've been Neo from the Matrix, if you know your Matrix, all week with you getting sick. I mean, this is like an Oprah, but in reverse. You got sick. My oldest kid's best buddy was sick, and he was over there for the Super Bowl. And then Monday, he's puking his guts out. And my 6-year-old is homesick the other day. I mean, I am ducking and weaving, dodging all of the illnesses somehow. And it feels like inevitable, right? It feels like it's coming, it's going to happen. And I'm going to be down for the count. But this week has stunk on ice, my friend.
I'm trying to think of an elusive commander. We might have just stumbled onto a decent topic here. They don't really have an open field, shifty, elusive guy that I can comp you to. I guess it would be Eckler. Eckler at his best.
He's your closest, yeah.
You think about that Lions game when he was rumbling through the open field and making people miss. You were Austin Ecklering your way through your household over the last week to make sure that an illness didn't bring you down.
It was basically like what Brandon Banks thought he was. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I actually am, is what Banks like, oh, I almost got it because I missed that one block, and then if I made that guy, one guy miss. Like, he always had to let everyone know that he almost broke it. I am breaking it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the vision of Brandon Banks for himself.
So I think there's levels of being sick. The level I was at is, it's been 2 days and I haven't gotten out of bed. Like, not only that I don't feel like eating, but I haven't gotten out of bed. I got to probably take a shower just because I feel gross.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I was at, where you'd think that's lovely because you just watch a bunch of Netflix and you catch up and binge some shows. No interest. That was not part of the rundown for your boy. So I'm just glad to be on the mend, glad to be back with my guy Danny, glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, the final note is I think like the level of sick, the highest level or lowest level, whatever you want to call it, however your scale works, is when you can't even relax. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't feel well, it's not great, but, my feet is up. I'll sit in the bed.
You're laying there, but you're doing that, like, heavy sigh, and you just, like, you're next to the person that's sick, and you can hear them being annoyed by how they feel.
And you feel like crap, and it's not fun, but, like, whatever. It's, like, regular sick. There's that next level where you can't even just be. You know what I mean? Where it's, like, everything's feverish. Everything is, like, coming out in a gross way, or, like, you can't even sit still. You can't even just calm down.
Well, hopefully you and I are back in the saddle together and nobody gets sick for an extended period of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we've gone through it here as a show over the last couple of months. But that having been said, I was reading the piece on ESPN.com dropped today by Bill Barnwell, who's really, really smart. And he was writing about the Commanders and how he thinks they are actually the team that makes the most sense for Myles Garrett. This is something we're going to talk a lot about a little bit later in the show. But I wanted to bring this up because this is what is happening now almost every day in the national media. Somebody else who's either super plugged in and or in Barnwell's case, super well studied and learned, puts together this piece where they claim Washington based on its situation, however they're deeming that. That could be money, that could be, the cap space and pick allocations, that could be championship level, quarterback on a rookie deal. Based on their current standing, they make a lot of sense for this guy. Washington should make a push for this player. And it dawned on me that there is this perception around the country, Danny, that the Commanders are going to go into aggressive mode. That they're, I don't know if I want to call it all in, but they're going to do something like what the Texans did, let's say, last offseason, where Houston was coming off of a stunning year nobody thought they would have because they drafted a quarterback number two. For them, it was C.J. Stroud to Washington's Jaden Daniels. Stroud had the historical year that nobody'd had and nobody could believe. Daniels since surpassed that. And then the Texans, tell me if this sounds familiar, got into the playoffs and won a playoff game and everybody was shocked. And then they went into the offseason with all this money. And they went ham. They were like, taking a kid to a toy store and saying, you got $50, buddy. Go fill up your cart, right? I mean, Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, and they just went out and did whatever they wanted in terms of stars on the open market. I get the sense, I don't know if you agree with this, that is something along the lines of what people are expecting the Commanders to do now around the country. And I'm really skeptical that they actually do that.
Yeah, league-wide, that's the perception. Right. If you cover it nationally, they don't have the baggage that we do right here in town. You and I kind of buck against this in general. Doesn't mean you just spend stupid money just to hear yourself do it. But when Washington fans hear major free agent acquisition, everybody recoils because of what Snyder did like in the year 2000. Like it's decades old. Free agency is a wonderful tool. It helps you. Some of the best players here in recent memory were free agent acquisitions. London Fletcher comes to mind. I mean, there are dozens of examples. Of course, there are some that don't work out. William Jackson, you can name your guy. But the perception is, hey, they're here and they shouldn't have been. Now's the time not to play it safe. Now's the time to push those chips in the middle, right? Because as Barnwell writes, you've got 3 years with Daniels. It's super cheap. The fifth year's cheaper, but you don't even have to think about getting that fifth year option, et cetera. And you kind of outkicked your coverage here already. This should now be the time to upgrade. No more. Let's just see if we can find another Dorrance Armstrong. No more bargain basement. We'll pay Dante Fowler punter money for something he's never done in his career. This is now time to find a couple of marquee stars that can do some heavy lifting.
But see, I think fans are reluctant based on the William Jackson misses and some of those things you just referenced.
Yeah, I think they are.
I don't think that's relevant, really, to what the team's going to do. Like, I'm not suggesting, I guess let me be clear. I'm not saying I think national pundits are saying Washington should be aggressive and the fans don't want them to. That may be the case. I really haven't gotten a good feel for what the fan base wants.
I think it's split. honestly.
And that's something that we could ask and maybe take some calls on here at 800-636-1067. Do you want them to ramp up the aggressiveness? Do you want them to get into the market and to be legitimate players on some major sweepstakes this offseason? But I'm actually talking about this from the perspective of, you know, what the front office is thinking, what Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, who luckily stayed, didn't end up getting the GM job in New York with the Jets, like what those guys are thinking. Because I'm skeptical that they want to go big. It's one thing to read all these pieces, and they all make sense. Take Myles Garrett as the primary example. Mm-hmm. Myles Garrett would probably like an extension, but if he doesn't get one, needs somewhere that has cap space, means you have a major need for a pass rusher, means that you're willing to bring in a superstar that's going to change, you know, your defensive philosophy and feel to some extent, right? And so when Barnwell went through basically the exercise that we used to do on like an SAT test of ruling out all of the teams one by one, he ended up with three teams as a sweet spot that made the most sense for Myles Garrett. One of them was Washington. So I'll take you through his exercise really quick. Mm-hmm. He said teams that won't be trading for Garrett. The three teams in the AFC North said the Browns aren't going to do that. Teams with no need for edge rushers, that was the Broncos, Texans, and Rams. Then he says teams that currently are not competitive. That makes sense, right? Because if you're trading for Myles Garrett, paying him that money, and maybe extending him, you better feel like you're getting close to winning a title. So Panthers, Raiders, Patriots, Saints, Titans, gone. Then he says another group of teams that won't be trading for him, and he lists their reasons why. So eventually he gets into a couple categories of unlikely but plausible, and then the sweet spot. And the sweet spot is three teams, and including the Bears, the Colts, and the Commanders. So I love the exercise, but if I'm Peters, I just made the NFC title game by not doing this, by watching my quarterback elevate everybody, by watching my staff elevate my guys. That scares me into thinking that might be what Adam Peters wants to do again this offseason.
100%. And I think Jay Gruden said this to us the other day when he was on Monday, something to that effect, where, you know, I don't have a great analogy. And this sounds like I'm discrediting Adam Peters, and I'm not, okay? So I want to be very clear about that. But imagine you sit down at the blackjack table, and, you know, the dealer's got a six showing, and you've got a soft 17, and you go, hit me. And you get a four, and it works, right? And you go, that's how I'm going to play from now on. Well, actually, that wasn't the most sound strategy, right, for a big picture, long-term thing. And I know this isn't the greatest analogy, but bear with me. In so much as the best way to compete for an NFC title or the best way to go to a Super Bowl is not to say, I'm going to wait till someone gets cut to be my number two receiver. I'm going to go get Zach Ertz, who was almost out of football, to be my second leading receiver on a team. I don't know why I'm picking on a receiver. I'm not doing Zacchaeus and Crowder as featured players for me. I'm going to upgrade there, right? Your best practice isn't necessarily to go full Haynesworth or go full Mark Carrier, Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders, but it's a happy medium. Like, don't just shop in the bin the national shop in, right? Shop in the A. Shop in the A section, the high ticket item section. Not for every player. You can't do that. Have a couple more stars, and Garrett is one. But my fear is the amount of confidence based on what you just said, or sort of parroting what you just said, to go, we just did it this way with 100 million cap space left over, and, you know, I got a quarterback that's so good, I don't have to go crazy. I'll do a bunch of good culture guys. And obviously you want to have some people that fit in, but at the same time, get some high end, right?
If I add another draft class, mm-hmm. What does it look like if I add another, I'll say, you know, successful, but successful class of mediocre players to you know, average-ish players in free agency. I think it's time to go big. I don't need them to sign T. Higgins, right? I don't know that makes the most sense. But to sign a real quality wide receiver that didn't catch 10 balls last year, that's what Olamide Zaccheaus did before they went and got him. To go get a viable number two type wide receiver opposite Terry McLaurin is not that big of an ask, rather than waiting until Noah Brown is released by the Texans in training camp. And I think those are two very different things. There's a Grand Canyon size gap between them, to your point. But I hope that they are now willing to take what happened this season and not feel empowered to not spend or to not be aggressive, but rather say, we've got the gift right now of being close with a quarterback that's making no money. Let's turn up the heat. Let's take all of the faders and push them up. And let's be on the attack. Let's put the pressure on everybody else. Let's go in for the next 2-3 years to try to win a title. Because that flag will fly forever. We don't have to explain anything away if we can win one championship. Now, I'm not saying you mortgage your future, but if Daniels is who we think he is, then there's no such real thing as mortgaging your future anyway. He will always kind of keep you afloat. He will always give you an opportunity to be around. But you mentioned what Jay said. Listen to Gruden, because I think he's actually skeptical like we are that they're going to be aggressive, even though you keep seeing the Commanders are a team to look out for T. Higgins. The Commanders make the most sense for Myles Garrett. Do they? I mean, are we sure they want to swim in those waters? This was Jay Gruden on the show on Monday with us here on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, it's my biggest concern is they had a lot of success with these patchwork players, and they got a lot of them, and they got a lot of use out of them. They had a lot of success. I hope they don't think that that's the way it's going to be again. Are you going to re-sign the same? They're going to ask for more money. You got a lot of guys out there that have to be re-signed. So hopefully they get it done and they feel good about the guys they have in-house. But clearly they need to upgrade some certain spots and get more depth on the defense and offensive line, obviously. And they got to figure out the corner spot with Lattimore and Sanistrill. Are they going to move him back to inside or not? What's Bobby Wagner going to do? We got another inside linebacker. Greenlaw is available. There's some good players available at inside linebacker. And I know Bobby's a great leader, but they just got to figure out, one, the culture of the team, how everybody fits into the masterpiece of the puzzle, and then they just got to make sure they get bigger and stronger.
You can hear Jay Gruden every Monday at 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. But here are my questions out of that. Why didn't they win the Super Bowl this year? Why didn't they win the NFC Championship game this year? Why did they get beaten by the Eagles when they did? I mean, to some extent, they were under-talented. Right? And I know the Eagles were the most talented team in the league, mm-hmm. but they didn't have enough good players. Like, they overachieved in so many ways. They need more weapons, not just on offense. You can have weapons on defense. They need more studs to compete with the stars of this league, the teams that are the current monsters that get fat every year, the Eagles and the Chiefs. They need more. And if they don't get aggressive and spend, I think it's going to be really hard. Like, you can get lucky and have a generational player and a staff all do great things, and you can make a run. But to really get to the top of the mountain, I think it's going to take pushing their chips in a little bit, and I hope that they're willing to do that this offseason.
I'm with you. And again, it's the two sides of the argument are, do you want to be aggressive or do you want to be kind of slow and steady? And Peters, I think, comes from the school in general of slow and steady wins the race, but it's not as if San Francisco, when he was there, didn't make some major acquisitions. I mean, they swung and traded for Trent Williams. They swung and traded for Christian McCaffrey, and they've added pieces up and down. So I understand. I guarantee you he knows they need some more high-end talent. My fear is, or fear is not the right word, my question, concern, whatever you want to call it, is him and his group going, we'll find it via ways that don't overextend ourselves. We'll find the next star. We'll find our next Terry McLaurin in the third round. And sometimes it's Terry McLaurin. More often than not, it's Jalmy Brown. Sometimes it's Terry McLaurin. More often than not, it's a guy that's not on the roster anymore. You know what I mean? Like, to me, there's got to be we weren't supposed to be here. We are. Let's break glass and change our eye line a little bit. Not for everybody. Again, you know, as you said, you don't get rid of every draft. You don't go full Rams on things, because I think that's just as hard to do as building slow and steady. But there's got to be some kind of thing where you go, this player is too good, too much of a difference maker for us not to be in the bidding. And if you get outbid because someone offers three number ones, you say fare thee well. But there's got to be a little bit more aggressiveness than we saw this past year. And I got the approach this past year, by the way. Even while it was happening, some people were disappointed there wasn't more high-end, and I'm going, this would be like a, I don't know, I'm thinking of a mediocre example here, like a 55-win baseball team trying to sign Juan Soto so that you could win 63 games. That didn't make a lot of sense. Well, now you're an 88-win team trying to sign Juan Soto so you can go win 100 games. That's kind of what this is to me, is this is a wild card caliber team in both football and in baseball that's got a chance at a couple of marquee things. You should be in there. Even if it doesn't work, I'll appreciate the attempt.
Here's the question for you guys at 800-636-1067. As we can hit the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this next. Do you want them to be a big spender this offseason? And then secondly, do you think they will be? And it's not just about spending in free agency, I don't think, Danny. It's really just about, do you want them to be an aggressor? Because that could be the trade market too, yeah? I mean, do you want them pushing the envelope and being a front runner in player movement? Or should they lay lower like they did this past offseason? We just watched them do it, and it worked beautifully. I just think it's hard to do. Like, we just saw them do it, and we're going, oh, let's do that again. And I'm going, yeah, that works like a quarter of the time. You know, you went to a restaurant with really bad reviews, and you got an amazing meal for really cheap. I don't know if I want to run it back at that same place again. I kind of hit my home run already. Do you lay lower? Do you go get some bargain additions that you think are fits and then cross your fingers that it works that way and you play the slow and steady game? 800-636-1067 is the number. Also, we should get more into this Myles Garrett piece on ESPN and why they think the Commanders are the team that should trade for him. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. To what extent do you want to see the Commanders get more aggressive this offseason in acquiring talent? Last spring, they had a new GM, a new head coach. They inherited a four-win team. Felt like they were 3 years away from a playoff run. There wasn't much of a reason to spend big. But 14 wins and a berth in the NFC title game later, if they don't think it was a fluke or a one-off run, there's really no reason not to flip the switch to win a title mode and try to get over the top. So how aggressive would you be in doing that? 800-636-1067. Danny, we'll start with you.
So I'm going to just arbitrarily go 1 to 10 scale. 10 is, you know, damn the torpedoes, all in. You go full Rams, blip them picks. And 1 is, I don't know, that seems too high priced for me. I better just stay the course and not make any, you know, only shop in the Cleveland Farrell bin. I'm probably an 8.5 or a 9. I mean, to me, there is an opportunity here, and the second part of that is I don't want any complacency. I don't want anything where you go, we just did this magical thing, and that's repeatable. Rosters change, times change, you know, a bad luck injury happens. There's a million different things. It needs to be easier for Jaden Daniels and company next year, especially on offense. To me, the defense obviously needs dramatic improvement, but you got more good opponents. The great opponents that they played, the offense was pedestrian. There's a correlation there. Right? I mean, the really good defenses and teams are going to play, like Kansas City, Green Bay gave people fits. You got Philadelphia twice in the division. It's a much tougher schedule on paper right now than this past year's was. You can't just go, it'll be another Noah Brown kind of guy. No, this needs to be the get right time because you've got assets to do it. So if you swing and miss, I can live with it.
Which I get, but I also think that's part of my nervousness about going big, too, is the idea is that you're going big to add to a team that just played in an NFC championship game. When you're losing a lot of the guys that helped make up that team, and more importantly, that great locker room that signed to these one-year deals and free agency, and you're starting over with kind of a new group. And if they were to play out last season again, starting right now, do they get to the NFC title game? I wouldn't bet on that. Is it possible instead of, you know, 12 wins, do they win 10, something like that? Yeah, I guess that's probable, possible, what have you. My point is, if I'm Adam Peters, I can't view the team that goes into the offseason, the guys that on day one of the league year that are remaining as 14 wins in the NFC title game. But I think the way I would look at it is, I got the quarterback. He makes no money. The rest of it can change year to year, especially early in his career, substantially. And as long as I've got a couple of really key weapons around him, if I build up the offensive line correctly, I need to go get a couple of stars that scare people on defense, I'm going to be a double-digit win team. Because that's my goal as a GM. I say this all the time in baseball. Mike Rizzo's job is not to win a World Series. He can't do that. Mike Rizzo's job is not to get to an NLCS. He can't do that. Mike Rizzo's job is to build a 90-plus win baseball team every year to hand to his manager. If I'm a football executive like Adam Peters. My job is to build a playoff team to get you year in and year out. 10-plus, 11-plus wins, whatever it is, whatever it takes. And now you guys got to go navigate this thing and try to get as far as you can in the postseason. But curious to see what people think. We'll start with Alex in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, guys. Definitely a 10, but don't leave no stone unturned. Not saying Adams doesn't know what he's doing. Of course he knows what he's doing. But for an example, the Bengals, Henderson is out there. Crosby's out there from the Raiders. Miles Garrett, but let's say if you pick up Miles Garrett, okay, you can't pick up T. Higgins. Okay, you got Deebo out there. We always go for the fourth down. So can you imagine on backfield Deebo and J.D. 5, Eckler, or Robinson? I mean, that's scary. Who's getting the ball?
There, so, Danny, Alex wants to go big game hunting. It's a great answer. Thank you. Gives me an idea of, you know, just to start the conversation, like where at least a faction of the fan base is. I mean, that's to the extreme of doesn't matter if you're an aging veteran, what your injury history is. If you are among the best players in the league the last few years, we're bringing you in here and we're moving forward with you. But that's about as big game hunting as it gets when he's talking about if you get Garrett, you move off Higgins and you go to Deebo, and he's envisioning them similarly to last year's group. And just, okay, now instead of Brian Robinson in the backfield on that fourth and one, it's Deebo Samuel.
And that's kind of my eye line, honestly. I mean,
really?
it doesn't mean that every free agent you sign is the top of the spot track board. Their future salary is going to be, you know, the league leading at the position. You, of course, still have to have your Dante Fowlers, right? You still got to find your second middle linebacker, your backup this, and, you know, your swing guard and things that aren't that sexy. That's where your acumen and your I know this better than everybody else, Lance Newmark, Adam Peters and company, can shine. Right, where you go, this guy fits our system, he'll do more for us than he did for his previous team. That's, of course, instrumental. The same with draft picks and everything else. But to me, they are in dire need on both sides of the ball a couple star injections. Like, I really think that. I think it's not getting easier from here. Like, we did this yesterday while you were sick in bed. The Houston Texans, to me, are the cautionary tale. It's not as if they fell off the face of the universe, but remember the expectations for them before the season, because of what they'd done in year one. Because of a second year for C.J. Stroud, all the free agents they'd gone and tried to get or that ended up getting, people thought they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, that they were going to challenge the Chiefs. They'd be better. They were higher ranked than the Bills and the Ravens and a bunch of other teams that were really good, and it just was fine.
But here's what we don't know.
Yeah.
Would the Texans have won 7 games and missed the playoffs and taken a massive step back if they didn't add talent?
Oh, totally. It wasn't a rundown what they did. The point was, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it was this doesn't get easier. You don't just get to count on magic.
Understood.
Right?
But I'm just saying for the people that say, because the Texans will get chalked up to an offseason tiger that was a regular season paper or whatever. Like they'll be thrown into the 2000 Redskins, Dan Snyder in category of, see, it doesn't work. And I'm saying, how sure are we? It's not like Danielle Hunter didn't have a hell of a season. It's not like he wasn't one of the better pass rushers in the league again, the biggest addition that they made, right? Maybe they got to the playoffs because of the offseason they had. Maybe they won a playoff game for a second straight year, which, by the way, ain't nothing. Like, you are building something seemingly sustainable at that point. Did you go further? Did your quarterback take a step back? Yes, that did happen. But maybe it would have been a bigger step back if they didn't add some of that talent. My response to the call, I guess, and it sounds like to you, if you're in lockstep with him, is really two thoughts that conflict. Number one, I don't know when it's ever worked to, I'll use big game hunting again, but to like go get a bunch of really, really high profile players in one off season. I don't remember a single time in any sport where that has really, really worked. I mean, the Dodgers finally just won their first title in a regular season, a normal length year since 1988. We talk about the spending problem in baseball. The Yankees, 2009 was their last championship. It's their only one since the turn of the millennium, I believe. It generally doesn't work to just have stars at every position. But I will tell you that I trust Adam Peters to make it work. I think you've got to be selective. It's two or three maybe splash moves, one superstar, a couple of good players, and then maybe some good fits otherwise. But that still equals a significant spike in aggression to what was last year, I thought, a very timid offseason for the most part. But it's got to be acknowledged. What would you say were their biggest splashes? financially, it was Frankie Luvu. He was the best player they signed last offseason. Mm-hmm. I would say in terms of overall import in the building, it was Bobby Wagner. It was one of the last guys they signed for the most money, other than Luvu, that they signed anyone to almost. So the guys they spent the most money on ended up helping them the most, too. I don't think that can be forgotten in this conversation. James in Woodbridge, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What up, Jess? Good afternoon to you. Thanks for taking the call. Love you, boys.
Appreciate you.
Listen here, gents. I'm going to tell it like it is. T. Higgins is the man. That's the main target right there. Danny was right during the season. They should have hit a home run and got them a second wide receiver because I think they would have competed better and they might have been in the Super Bowl. That might have been their window. But T. Higgins, let me finish, though. T. Higgins, big splash. They also need to big splash on the offensive line because you can't have a center go down and disrupt Jaden like the way it did this year. But lastly, the draft needs to be focused on a home run hitter in terms of a running back, man. You need a Bijan type. You need a Saquon type. Somebody that got top-end speed. Not saying B-Rob can't do it. Not saying Eckler ain't a great back. But those two are not thunder and lightning, man. They are dumping and pump, whatever it is. Focus on, the draft and fill your defensive hold. It's going to take some time still with the defense, but focus, big splash, because Terry is your number two wide receiver when you bring T. Higgins in, and that's going to change the game. When Terry can get all of the weight off his shoulders and T. Higgins becomes the number one, game over. Commanders win.
Thank you, buddy. So I love T. Higgins. I have been a T. Higgins guy since he was at Clemson. I didn't understand why he wasn't a first rounder. All that guy is productive. I can't pay him top of market money. And maybe you know, fortune. I'm talking on both sides of my mouth where fortune favors the bold, and I'm going, don't be that bold on that one. If I got him at his current salary, GP, I would do it. But knowing that he's going to make 30 probably, the oft-injured T. Higgins, I just can't. Again, I love his game. I don't know if he's a 1 or 1A. I don't care. I know that that guy's going to go for 1,000 yards and 7, 8 touchdowns if he's healthy, but it's the if.
I wonder with T. Higgins, how healthy is he if he's in a place where he's not miserable this past year? You know, like, the years before this one, right? He did miss games for sure, but he missed more games. He played more times hurt. He missed more practices this year than ever before when he also happened to be his least happy. So if you get your new contract and you come into a building where you feel respected and loved, how much of that changes? I think we'd be remiss not to at least acknowledge that he was the least durable he's been at a year where he was at odds with the team from day one. But yeah, I'm also probably not paying him. Like, if you're asking me, would I rather go get Myles Garrett or T. Higgins, the answer is Garrett. And by the way, Garrett takes draft picks.
Yeah.
T. Higgins just takes a boatload of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a lot more fiscally responsible to bring in T. Higgins at a lot of cap space than the picks and an extension probably for Myles Garrett. But if I didn't have to do the extension, it's definitely a no-brainer for Myles Garrett. We're asking you guys what you predict the Commanders will do. Remember that part of this equation as well. Do you think they're going to be more aggressive? Because I'm a little dubious about that. I'm nervous that they won't be. Sounds like so far everybody is kind of in unison here after watching them make a deep run. It is time to step on the gas pedal and to forget the brakes for a moment and try to go win something meaningful. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. So I'm doing the show from the basement today at home. Still working my way back from strep, but felt well enough to jump on the show with Danny. But I tell you this, DR, because when my kids got home from school, I saw that my son, who only goes, he's a little guy, so he goes 2 days a week for a few hours to a little school that he goes to. And he came home with a big pile of Valentine's cards from his friends. So he's opening them, and some of them have like little lollipops or, you know, gummy bears attached to them, and he's fired up at the kitchen table, ripping all the candy off and eating it. And meanwhile, my daughter is next to him, and she says she's got to finish her Valentine's that she takes for tomorrow. And she's got 15 or 16 done, and she's got a few more to do or whatever. But it reminded me of one of the greatest days of the year when you're in school, bar none. Valentine's Day in elementary school. I don't know if you guys did it how we did it, but did you do the thing where you would, like, wrap a cereal box in paper or something like that, and then some type of, like, nice wrapping paper, and then everyone would go down the row, where they'd be like, okay, this one's Danny, and find your box and drop it in. And, like, you knew your buddy knew you very well. He'd give you, like, the NBA Valentine card. Uh-huh. Someone would have the dinosaur one. Somebody really cool that year would get, like, the whatever the hot TV show was. That was the best thing in the world, was to scoop up your box and go through them one at a time. Whatever girl you had a crush on, there'd be a heart on it, so you could kind of talk yourself into that becoming a thing. It was the best.
It was a show. So for us, I mean, elementary school, little tiny school, you know, we were co-ed, so we did that thing that you're talking about. But then once we got into single-sex education, right, with the boys on one side of the campus and the girls on the other side, we would do carnations, which was the most stressful yet exhilarating thing on planet Earth. Like, a lot of times you'd have, like, friends, you know, of the opposite sex. You'd kind of go, okay, listen, I'll get you a carnation. Please get me one so we don't go carnationless, right? But then, like, the popular dude would get, like, 77 carnations. Everyone would be like, hi. And, like, that was the entire thing, you know? Or you'd give one and then not get one back from that person. It was devastating. I mean, it was exhilarating and stressful. Thinking about, like, kind of that middle school sort of era for it.
I don't know when it started being more nerve-wracking and anxious. Mm-hmm. I think probably, like anything, puberty.
Yeah, middle school.
Right, middle school's the pits in so many ways. I just know that when I think of wheelhouse Valentine's Day, fourth grade.
Yeah, third grade, right in there.
I'm thinking, like, NBA Valentine, like Kobe Bryant dunking, you know, you're a hero or whatever it would say. And there's, like, a lot, you know what I'm talking about?
Of course,
like,
I do, yeah.
Lollipop attached.
I got, like, nothing but baseball stuff. It was awesome.
So some, like, Cal Ripken Jr. sliding into second base or something. My all-star, you're never out, or whatever, you know? And it's like, dude, just to go one by one. And some of them
so
were
lame.
So many
heart candies.
Because, like, the people bought the Valentine's of the thing that they liked. So if it's a TV show you're not into, or, like, you know, especially the girls in the class are going to have different proclivities at that point and things that they enjoy. But, man, the any of the, like, the NFL, MLB, or, like, wrestling. Oh, wrestling was the best back then. Like, God, I love Valentine's Day in school. And now it's just, you know, make sure that you don't make your wife upset. That's kind of
that's
the goal.
That's pretty much what we're doing, yeah.
What can I do to not make my wife upset on Valentine's Day? But there was a time, third grade, where it rocked. Austin's in Raleigh listening on the Odyssey app, the always free Odyssey app. You can listen to the show there. You can watch us every day streaming video on YouTube in high definition as well. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, boys. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, so first off, I just want to say, how great of a time is it that we can talk about signing free agents to a team to make us more of a competitor.
Correct.
And not just signing to fill a spot? It's an amazing time to be a Commanders fan.
Decades in the making.
Yeah, right. And in addition, just real quick, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm reading all the stories about quarterbacks, like the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers and
we're not there.
Yeah,
that's
Kellen Moore won't commit to Derek Carr or whatever. Going, must be terrible for to be a team like that. That must be awful. Oh, not us.
It's a great time. Not us. So my main point is, you know, I would love, like, if they went out and signed Myles Garrett and traded for him, great. I'm all for it. But I'm more concerned about signing away or sending away too many picks and mortgaging too many, you know, many draft capital and players to get that done, where you can go, you see that the Bengals organization is in disarray with the players not being happy. So why not focus around Trey Hendrickson, who could, you know, you could trade away pieces, but maybe not as many. You can find guys that could fill in Myles Garrett's void and not mortgage away too much or not have to sign as much. I feel it would be great if we brought him on, but at some point it's too much. Let's go with, you know, maybe a little lesser of a route and focus around, we've got a quarterback that makes us in contention. Let's give him weapons. Let's kind of piece together the defense with good players, but maybe not, you know, the top of the line, waste every pick, you know, spend a ton of money kind of player.
So, yeah, two things. First, I am not in line with the idea that, like, picks are gold, right? I'm also not completely LA Rams proof, where this is not a Grant McVay situation where I bleep them picks. But I think a happy medium is definitely the play. Like, people who hoard their picks, mid and late rounds especially, get over yourself. Let's go win football games, please. And the Rams have proven it. They've shown it. You don't need the picks if you can go do the stars and the scrubs situation. But I'm not suggesting the draft is not the lifeblood of an organization. I think two things can be true, and that picks are important, but they're not the end-all be-all. As far as trading for a guy like Myles Garrett, how much do you want? How many picks do you need? Two ones and then another mid-round pick or something? Absolutely. Something that should be a consideration for one of the greatest players of all time who's still seemingly in the prime of his career. Because the quantitative value of what you're getting back from those picks is probably not going to equal what you're going to get from Myles Garrett. So I get not wanting to trade draft picks generally. I just think there shouldn't be any rules, Danny, because every situation's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's all cost-benefit, right? So just sort of making this up, these aren't real terms. Where are you better, with Trey Hendrickson and keeping your first-round pick for a guy that's going to be 32, who's a really good player, by the way, just making that one up, or Myles Garrett and no first-round pick for the next two seasons? That's an interesting debate, by the way, like, because you don't know what that first round is going to turn into. There's a variable there. The reason you pay a premium is when there's certainty, or as close to it as you can in sports. Things happen. But you're talking about a Hall of Famer on his way, still with a whole lot left in the tank for a garbage team, was still maximum effort going 90 miles an hour downhill, you know what I mean, this past season in Garrett. And that's kind of the point, right, is it's about team building as much as anything else, where you go, you're not just making a move in a vacuum. If you upgrade Myles Garrett with a first rounder this year and next year, again, for the sake of argument, that means you can't spend that first rounder on wide out, cornerback, another position that you may think and want. So you have to be creative elsewhere. The point is, there's a big balancing act that we never really think of, and the dominoes have to fall when you make a major move like that.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. A team's antiquated rule that it has for his players is getting called into question. I want to talk about that next, right here on The Fan.